This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome, and this is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is the first day of September 2020. Time to be very careful, and this is show number 109. So, Nick, before we get to the regular news here, the regular coverage, September, October, traditionally months where there are severe crashes, disruptions, etc. What's your take on it?
Yes, very true. Both months can present problems for the market. So I think this is a time where you have to be on guard. While the trend is up, and I'm sticking with the trend, but when the trend tells us to reverse course, we got to be quick about it, and you do have to reverse course. But historically speaking, September is definitely a turbulent month. October, I believe we have had the most crashes, and I'm not saying that's going to happen this year. We'll let the charts tell us a little bit more going forward. But it is definitely a time period where you have to be on guard. You have to be alert to that these things can take place.
Yeah. So it's interesting because the last crash happened in March, really the end of February, beginning of March, which is really kind of unusual, isn't it?
Well, March is notoriously known for crashes as well and for bottoms in the market. So you take two time periods that I always look at cyclically wise, and I teach this in all my courses, is that March and October are probably the two most important months of the year for major turning points. Very, very often, though, you have the month of September as a very turbulent month as well. Sometimes we see the month of May, we see the month of July, but those months, October and March, are very, very pivotal months for the stock market historically. In fact, if you go back and look at a chart from the beginning of the S&P or the beginning of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, you'll see those months, you see major pivots that happen notoriously around those time periods.
All right, so be careful in September, and we're not even up to the Labor Day weekend yet, so we're expecting this to be a kind of dull week, right?
Yeah, going into Labor Day, you always expect light volume. A lot of traders are on holiday. It's kind of like an unwritten rule that this is a time where you take a little vacation. As you know, in the trading business, we don't really get a lot of time off. We only have 11 days a year outside of the weekends that the market is closed. So this is like an unwritten rule. This is where you take vacation right before Labor Day.
Yeah, and which makes complete sense if you think about it. Because right now the B team, the C team is kind of holding the fort down. And in fact, so many offices, there's nobody in the office at all. They're doing it remotely or whatever. So it would be an interesting time, though. What would happen if there was something that happened, a major blow up or market dislocation? Well, the people got to come off their vacation and hit their workstations, their notebooks or whatever, wherever they might be, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. If there were to be a major downturn of some sort, you'd see these people starting to scramble to get to a computer terminal somewhere with a pretty good internet connection. I've seen it before. It has happened, but it's very, very rare that it does. But I think, you know, we want to be a bit prudent going into September. We want to be a bit prudent going into October. And again, don't forget, we have this highly, highly we have this very, very political, I should say, election that's coming up. And, you know, both sides are really fighting it out, and we'll see how it goes. But you have to be aware of that risk as well.
Well, to me, the election is a lot like this last hurricane that they said was going to hit Florida and do all sorts of damage. I'm not talking the ones that actually hit Texas and Mississippi over there. I'm talking the one before that. I can't remember. Isaiah, they couldn't even pronounce it. And you saw, like, the weather people there. Normally, they love to panic the public. Oh, there's a hurricane. It's going to destroy everything for 100 miles around it. You know what they're like. This is their game. This is what they live for. But for Isaiah, their heart was just not in it. And
when you look at a certain failing candidate, mentally failing candidate, you could just see the team is just, they're like those weather forecasters with Isaiah. Their hearts are just not into it. And I think that a lot of this is going to be overblown and resolved. That doesn't mean that all the divisions in the country are going to be magically healed on November 4th. Certainly not. But I think that the expectation is not going to live up to the reality very likely.
Oh, you might be right about that, but we'll wait and see. I never like to take anything for granted. Just like when you're in a trade, you never take a trade for granted. You know, anything can happen. Things can change, and we definitely want to sit tight. As for the election, I mean, we're down to what, 63 days now, so we're getting closer. you'll never know what disruptions come along. I mean, I've never seen, you know, political chaos like this in my lifetime. So I'm just going to sit tight and let the show continue. But right now, you know, this is a time where you just have to let the charts tell you. Right now, the trend is up, and that's the good thing. But things can shift. So we definitely want to be aware of that market-wise.
Yeah, hey, well, out of order comes chaos, and out of chaos comes order. And we'll hopefully see some order restored after the election. So Zoom, really, which is basically a cloud computing based company because it's a virtual video conferencing platform that takes place in the cloud. It's Zooming, no pun intended.
Oh yeah, that stock is on fire today. In fact, you know, last night after they reported earnings, the stock made a big surge. Today it went as high as, I believe, 400 and traded up as high as $478. This is up 37% today. So it's quite a move. It has pulled back off the highs, but nonetheless, it has had a tremendous run. We'll see where this thing closes today. That'll tell us a lot more. It's not how they open them, it's how they close them. But so far, Zoom, as you said, is zooming up. And we'll see where it finishes today. That'll tell us a lot more going forward. But it is giving a big shot in the arm to the NASDAQ. NASDAQ's up 1% today. The other major indexes are doing okay, but they're not up 1%. They're much lower. But either way, Zoom. And last week, don't forget, we saw Salesforce, CRM is a ticker symbol there. They had a big earnings day too, and that gave the NASDAQ and all the cloud software names a big shot in the arm as well. So that is happening today, and that's really the only big earnings play that we have this week.
Interesting. So that's really it, huh? And so with this, is this a parabolic move? This is the next Tesla? What's the deal here?
Oh, yeah, the stock has definitely gone parabolic today. But when you have an earnings announcement like this, you have to see how it settles in the next few days. So, you know, if it can hold the bulk of its gains today, say it can hold 75% of its major move today, and it starts to consolidate, then it's telling you, you know, this stock is a candidate to go to 500 or higher. So we'll have to wait and see. Don't forget, this is an equity that just came public in May of 2019. So it's, you know, it's just a little over a year old. And, you know, when it came public, it was about a $70 stock, I believe. Now here we are talking about a $450 stock.
Yeah. And, well, they certainly are the best video teleconferencing platform out there in many, many respects. They aren't the only one. And they do have a lot of competition from Google, Microsoft, you name it. Everybody that can do a video conferencing, Facebook is in it. I don't think Twitter is, but Google certainly. So might be a good time to take some profits off the table there when you've seen this kind of move.
Well, if I'm in the stock at this level, at lower levels, and it pops like this, I'm completely out today. So, I mean, I'm just telling you how I do it. I would be out of the stock 100%. I don't trade earnings, so I never really get to embrace these kind of jumps, but if I were in the stock, I would be locking in those gains, waiting for a pullback, and then you could always reset and reload the position.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So finally, no show would be complete without a review of current activity and recent activity in gold and silver, and they keep moving up.
Yeah, I got to say today, you know, gold futures right now are flat. They were higher this morning, so we got to keep an eye on that. But you know, I love that kind of action where, you know, one day you're down, next day you're up, one day you're down, next day you're up. And if you can just continue to do that and just build another big base, that is telling you gold wants to go a lot higher. So far, that's exactly what we've seen. Gold top on the 7th of August at around, and I'm talking about gold futures here, around 2089. And here we are trading at around 1980 at the moment. And that's just the kind of action you want to see. I'm looking for a little what we call a zigzag ABC down. And then I think it's time to get back in on the long side. So I like really what gold is doing. Every day it's up. Some days it's down. Some days it gives away its gains. Later it pops up. It's all over the place, but it's just staying in that range. And as long as you do that, that's a big positive.
Yeah, staying in its range. And, you know, one comment that was made to me by a gold analyst that I really do respect is that when real interest rates decline and go negative, that is very bullish for gold.
Well, it could be. I don't see that actually happening. I think interest rates, believe it or not, are going to go higher. But what I do think is very bullish for gold is the fact that central bankers around the world have probably printed, you know, somewhere close to $10 trillion. And I'm not just talking about the Federal Reserve. I'm talking about all the central banks. But, you know, think about that. And it could, the number could be higher. I'm just throwing a ballpark figure out there. That is ultimately bullish for gold. I mean, you can't just come out and create money out of thin air and expect to not have any repercussions. So when you have that being done, and that's unprecedented, we've never seen anything like that in modern history. So that just gives the shot in the arm for gold to go higher.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a surprise when it does, least of all to you and I. We've been in this mode. The only thing that's surprising is that it was kept down for nearly, 8 years? I mean,
5 years, really. I mean, 2011, yeah. You know, till right. 2015.
Yeah, but then it got slammed back down. And until it broke 1450, there was really not much movement. And now when we look back in retrospect, we see that the real coming out party was the repo disaster, the repo meltdown. That kind of signaled to the world that gold isn't such a barbarous relic after all.
Well, look at, you know, the one person that slammed gold his whole career is Warren Buffett. Yeah. And now he owns Barrick Gold. So it just goes to show you, even he's been converted, and he's the one person that called gold a useless relic more than anybody.
Barbarous relic from the past. Yeah. I think that's Keynes who said that originally. And yeah, of course, if you're a central banker / central planner, then gold is always in your way and you're always looking to get rid of it, because being a central banker, if you can't mess with the world economy, is really very boring activity. All you do is you count gold and you count the number of warehouse receipts that are in circulation. That's all you do. And what fun is that, really? And you get paid a ridiculous amount of money, and they have a great dining room at these Federal Reserve banks. There's 11 of them, I think. And obviously New York is king. But between New York and D.C., if you can have, if you ever get a chance to have a meal, lunch in the executive dining rooms there, go for it, because it is the best food, you know. I guarantee you that.
I've never been, but I will me have neither. To try it out.
Me neither, but I've talked to people, and they have their own army in that Federal Reserve building in New York. You know, like 500 troops are stationed there, and they're at the command of the chairman of the Fed, of the New York Fed, because that's where the gold vault is. And there is gold there. We don't know who it belongs to, and they're not telling, but there's plenty of gold in the gold vault at the Federal Reserve. It's really, you can go there as a member of the public. You just have to request it a couple of weeks before, and it is a great experience to go in there. It really is.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I'd like to check it out, but I will say this much. Central banks around the world buy gold, and you know, once time, I think I've said this story before, but Ron Paul, when he was congressman, he asked Fed Chairman Bernanke, why do central bankers buy gold? And he said, we buy gold out of tradition.
I know, tradition. Like that's like Fiddler on the Roof was tradition. You know, the Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah, like I believe that one. You know, got a nice bridge. My theory is, Nick, and I haven't been able to prove it or disprove it, conspiracy theory if you like, is that while the Fed's been bad-mouthing gold on one side of their mouth, they've been accumulating it on the other. Somebody once said that all these cash for gold places that sprung up in 08 and 09 were actually funneling the gold to the Federal Reserve. I have no way of proving it. It's pure speculation. It's just logic because they know what's going to happen months or years before we do.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny when back in 2007, 2008, that's really where I made my bones in this business, telling people back in 2007 that the stock market was going to collapse and nobody believed me. And the funny thing was that these guys in the central bank, Ben Bernanke and company, they have mathematicians, statisticians, PhDs, MBAs, all on staff, all on duty, but not one of them could see the collapse coming. I just find it rather remarkable.
Yeah, well, you know, if you believe that, there's a bridge right around the corner from the Federal Reserve, and I hear it's for sale. I saw it listed on Craigslist the other day, and you set up a toll booth, you make a fortune. Hey, we'll leave it at that for now. Make sure you take a look at inthemoneystocks.com, Nick's site, where you can check his lengthy history and trading success. A lot of other valuable info there as well. Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Don't forget, we're running our free $1,000 gold giveaway. Just guess the price of gold, what it will be on September 25th, noontime. Enter the contest at financialsurvivalnetwork.com/contest, and you too might win $1,000 if you get close to the price. If you're the closest, you win. And with that, Nick, questions or comments, email me, kl@kerrylutz.com, and if you want, I'll send you the link as well. And with that out of the way, Nick, we will pick up tomorrow.
Sounds good.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.